Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning's sermon is entitled From Moses to Joshua, taken from the text that we have read, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. It was a momentous time of leadership transition for Israel. The year was 1405 BC. God's people, Israel, would no longer be wanderers and slaves. Israel was to claim their inheritance, to possess the land that God had prepared for them in Canaan. They have a people. God multiplied them whilst they were in Egypt for 400 years. And whilst they were in the wilderness, God gave to them a law, a constitution, and now with the land, they would become a full-fledged nation, a witness for the living and true God, the witness that God has prepared them to be. But something happened. The leader whom God has chosen to lead them, Moses, it is recorded for us, Moses died. They were at the brink of the promised land. There was much to conquer. And yet, they suffered a great setback. Their leader, the man who has guided them all these years, the man whom they look to, has died. Who was Moses? He was the man whom the Spirit of God rested mightily. Moses was God's chosen leader for his people Israel. He was the man whom God spoke face to face. It was a moment of great loss because Moses was Israel's deliverer, the man who came in answer to prayer to deliver Israel out of the cruel bondage of Egyptian slavery. This was the man who stood before Pharaoh and withstood Pharaoh. This was the man who had the courage to confront the greatest man on earth at that time, vested with the greatest army. He was an absolute monarch, but he was holding God's people captive. And Moses was that man who came to Israel, came to Pharaoh. This was the Moses who sent the 10 plagues by the power of God to confront Pharaoh. And you remember the last plague, killing all the firstborn in Egypt, men and cattle, including Israel's firstborn. And this was the man who, by the strength of his outstretched rod, parted the Red Sea. Behind him was Pharaoh's army closing in. And in front of him, an impasse. And how God was with him. And how he placed that rod into the sea. And how the sea parted. And how God provided a way for the desperate Israelite to escape the carnage that would come if Pharaoh's chariots would catch up upon them. At night, Israel walked on dry land to cross the Red Sea. And this was the Moses who composed the song that God, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. This was the Moses whom the Lord had taken home at the age of 120. And you can imagine the eulogy during the time of mourning, how the people recounted his life. In Hebrews chapter 11, Moses was honored as a man of faith. And we have a most fitting eulogy of Moses' life that was given here. This was a man who understood that with God is victory, and without God, nothing. This was a man who has denied himself and taken up the cross and walked with God. But this man is no longer with them. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 as we consider and think what was in the hearts of Israel at that time. What was going through their mind as they faced the flooding banks of the Jordan River? God has commanded them to go forward, but they are without their great leader. How to proceed? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God." This is what made Moses special. Moses loved God, and he loved the people of God. Moses was special because God put that love in Moses' heart. And because he loved God and he loved the people of God, he chose to suffer, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than be a prince in Egypt. The verse says, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the approach, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Unless God's leaders have denied themselves of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not going to be very effective leaders. But Moses was such a man whom God prepared 40 years in the palace and 40 years in the backside of the Sinai desert as a shepherd. In that desert, he learned the terrain of the wilderness. He spent 40 years there. And after 40 years, God called him to lead Israel through the wilderness for the last 40 years of his life. And Israel has experienced the power of God through their leader, Moses. Verse 27 says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the power of God, that God is greater than this Pharaoh that stood before him. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned." This was the man whom the people remembered fondly. He was a man of faith, the man whom they murmured and complained to in their discontentment. The man who listened to their complaints and provided a godly solution to them. The Bible called him the meekest man on earth. He was meek because he was a man who depended on God and not on the flesh to solve his problems. He was gentle, and the people appreciated him. But it was God's appointed time that Moses should die, that he should rest from his labors. And as the people recount the life of Moses, they knew in their hearts that his works would follow him. And now, God had chosen Joshua to receive the mantle from Moses, to lead God's people to possess the land of their inheritance. This man, this young man, Joshua, has grown up under Moses' care and the care of God. And Moses and Joshua was nurtured and prepared by God for the work. Just at the close of the book of Deuteronomy, before the beginning of Joshua, turn with me there, just a chapter back. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. How God placed his spirit upon Joshua, because Moses had laid his hands upon him. Let's pick up the thread of events leading to this passage that we are speaking about. And Joshua, verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 34, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, the spirit that was with Moses, was given to this man, Joshua. And that distinguished this man, because God was with them. How we want to be a man like Moses, a man like Joshua, in whom the Spirit of God rested. In which the wisdom of God rested. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord had sent them to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to his servants, and to all the lands, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. So what was passed on from Moses to Joshua in this leadership transition? Three things that we want to see. First, the baton, verses 1 to 4. Second, the unction, verses 5 to 6. And third, the scriptures, verses 7 to 9. The baton. In a race, when the baton has been passed, when you receive the baton, the runner that receives the baton must begin to run immediately. He is the man at the moment. All eyes are upon him. He must run the best he knows how. The work of possessing the promised land was the work that God had prepared Joshua to undertake, with or without his knowledge. Why do I say that? Because God's will is revealed with time. It became very clear to him only at the close of Moses' life. And who is this Joshua? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 of our text tells us that he was the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He was a servant of Moses. He was a helper of Moses. Joshua learned how to obey as a servant before he learned how to command as a general. He was Moses' helper. There was no mention of who the accomplishment of his father, Nun, in the scriptures. But we can deduce that his father or his parents were slaves along with all the children of Israel, the victim of Pharaoh's taskmasters. For the new king that arose over Egypt knew not Joseph. And we can see how his father would have returned home every night weary from the hard labor, exhausted, working from sunrise to sunset under the merciless taskmasters of Egypt. And when he's older, he too became a slave. And he remembered that dreadful night of the first Passover, when he, as the firstborn of his family, he was from the tribe of Ephraim, God spared him. But there was a great piercing cry through that night in the Egyptian families. He was a man who has seen all these things. How thankful Joshua must have been to be among the living and those who marched triumphantly out of Egypt, following their great leader Moses. Moses was Joshua's role model. He was his mentor. He was the leader of the people. And Joshua saw Moses' great faith and courage. And Moses, as Moses did all those things, confronting Pharaoh, and you see the result of that great faith. He saw the Nile turning into blood. He saw all those things that came, the frogs, the gnats, the insects, the pestilence, the boils, the hails, the locusts, the great darkness. He saw all these things. And what was the conclusion of it all? Well, he also saw how Moses parted the Red Sea. He was one of those who were desperate at that time. Well, he learned a very important lesson. He knew and believed that the Lord God of Israel is indeed the one true God. Do you have this experience as a child of God? Amongst the people of God, to see the hand of God leading and guiding you, leading and guiding us. And he knew that Moses was God's appointed leader. And soon, Joshua became Moses' helper. We read this in Numbers chapter 11, verse 28. Numbers chapter 11, verse 28. You may not need to turn there, I'll just read to you. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, this was that Joshua, and this was that Moses, whom Joshua was the helper. And Moses developed an unusual confidence in Joshua, and as his young helper. Remember, in the battle of Rephidim, against the Amalekites, Joshua was Moses' military assistant. He was the one who led the counterattack, and he saw God's supernatural victory. You see, Moses was up on the hill, and Moses was praying. And as Moses prayed, there was victory. But now Moses is no longer with them. So Joshua saw and experienced the power of God, the presence of God in his life, and the triumph of God when a man walks with God. And when Israel arrived in the wilderness of Sinai, God gave the Ten Commandments. And Moses went up to the mount. And the Bible tells us that Joshua was with him. Moses would take Joshua with him to the mountain. Moses did not take Aaron. Moses took Joshua. And Joshua may not have experienced the same degree of God's glory as Moses did, but he did enjoy access to God's presence more than all the other leaders. And those times when he was instructed to stay behind, well, he continued to dwell in the presence of God. Exodus 33:11 is one passage that tells us how the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friends. And when Moses would come out of the camp, Joshua would choose not to depart out of the tabernacle. He would want to continue to remain in the presence of God. He had a unique relationship with God as he saw how Moses was with God. And the greatest test in Joshua's life, as we think of this events that lead up to the crossing of the Jordan, we remember the test of Joshua's faith when he was among the 12 spies that was asked to go and survey the promised land. And he was there for 40 days. And they returned to give a good report that indeed this is a land that floweth with milk and honey, and the fruit was brought for the people to see. But what happened? The other 10 spies says, we will not go up against these people because they are stronger. And that the land consists of inhabitants that eateth up people. And there were giants there. Joshua knew the word of God, or knew the will of God. He was sensitive to the leading of God. He was not amongst those who had no faith. But he waxed strong in faith. They were asked by God to go in and possess the land, but these refused. And Joshua, together with Caleb, stood up. It was not easy to stand up before the people, but it was necessary. And the Bible recorded how they stoned them. Numbers chapter 13, or Numbers chapter 14, if you would turn with me there, verse 7. As we think about this man, Joshua, Numbers chapter 14, verse 7. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Verse 10, look what happened. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. God intervene right at that time. And you know, during that encounter, when he had to go to the promised land, Moses changed his name from Hoshea to Joshua, from salvation to the Lord is salvation, giving glory to God, that all victory comes from God. Power lies with God, and we need to submit ourselves to God, to live according to His will, to experience His power. And towards the close of Moses' life, Moses was instructed to bring Joshua before all the people. Numbers 27, if you turn with me there, verse 15. Numbers 27. And the Lord, verse 15. And the Lord spake, and Moses spake unto the Lord, let the Lord, the Spirit, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of Israel may be obedient, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment. And Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, Moses gave the final word of blessing. Moses called to Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. It was towards the close of Moses' life that Joshua's life mission was made clear. And that is the beginning of the book of Joshua. He will take the next 30 years to do this work. He was created to fulfill this aspect of God's redemption plan. And he has the sense of God's will for his life. And he would serve God. Joshua chapter 24, right at the end, it says he died at the age of 110. We realize that it takes time to become prepared to be a faithful leader of others. And Joshua's prominence came only after many years of faithfulness, both to the Lord, to his commandments, as well as to Moses, God's appointed leader. Joshua proved himself worthy of trust. So as we consider this theme, from Moses to Joshua, we want to think how the baton has been passed, so that we have that background of the enormous task ahead and how only God can give them the victory. Joshua has been given the commission. He has been charged by God to go in and possess the land. And these are the words given in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 2. Now therefore, arise and go. Two commands that God gave to him. And he is to obey immediately and arise and go. How is it that he would be obedient to the call of God, to the command of God? Well, it is through many years of looking and seeing why we need to obey God. He saw in the life of Moses one act of disobedience, a lifetime of regret, and he learned how important it is to be obedient to the will of God. And so the command has been given, arise and go. The baton is now in his hand. Every place that the foot, verse 3, of your, the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going out of the sun, shall be your coast. God defined Israel's land. And God promised that he will fight for Israel. He will give to them the victory. When we begin our Christian life, we begin this journey of usefulness of God. The things that we can do now can be counted precious in God's sight in eternity. And we all, each one of us, begin this walk by exercising the first spark of faith and to kindle it into a burning fire, burning out for the Lord. But what was the secret of Moses' success? The Lord revealed it to Joshua. This is the second and third thought that we want to think about. The unction, verses 5 and 6. The scriptures, verses 7 to 9. Joshua saw how God was with Moses, how Moses triumphed in the power of God. The secret of Moses' success was God's presence with him. And this is the second thought in verses 5 and 6 that is carried through even in verse 9. Dear brethren, Joshua needed more than strategic planning to accomplish God's purposes. He needed God. And God is assuring Joshua of his abiding presence with him. The key is not how skillful Joshua is, but how powerful God's presence is. The anointing of the Spirit of God makes all the difference. And this is seen in the early church. You remember, Jesus has ascended to heaven, and the 120 disciples were gathered together for a time of prayer. Well, they tarried with God until the Spirit of God came upon them. And what happened? God's power was manifested. 3,000 were converted at Pentecost. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Well, God gave him all these assurances. But as he looked in front of him, he sees the flooding Jordan River. He was a spy in the land. He saw the fortresses of the enemies, how they were impregnable. Of course, Joshua was concerned. He had no rafts with him, no means against an overwhelming tide. And this is that which makes the difference. God's presence. So the counsel that was given to Joshua was to rely on God. As the prophet Isaiah would say in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So God gave Joshua the assurance, "I will not leave thee nor forsake thee." He did not promise him continuous victory. He did not promise him protection, wisdom, but he promised him himself, that God will be with him. Jesus promised this same power to the infant church. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And lo, I am with you always. I will be with you all the way," literally, "all the days of your life." But we need to lean on God, don't we? We need to depend on him to live our lives. Remember Peter, when he was with Jesus in the storm, he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he came out and he walked. He was walking on water, and he looked to Jesus. But when he looked around and he saw the storm around him, immediately he began to sink. And he shouted, "Lord, save me!" We need that same devotion to look to the Lord. And this was what the Lord is saying to Joshua. "As I am with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 6. "For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." The unction made all the difference. And God had to repeatedly give to Joshua this reminder that Joshua is to continually come to God for strength, for resource, for his infinite power to do his will. And on Joshua's part, he is to trust in God's wisdom. Verbatim is the commission that was passed from Moses to Joshua in verses 1 to 4. And then the unction, which is the assurance of God's abiding presence with him. As he was with Moses, so will he be with Joshua. And thirdly, and most importantly, the scriptures. The Holy Spirit works in tandem with God's word. And God's will is in God's word. The Holy Spirit grants illumination to the understanding of the scripture, that we may apply it appropriately in wisdom to our lives. So verses 7 and 8 is pertinent. Joshua was to be guided and governed wholly by the written word. Before Joshua, there was no such book. But Moses was asked by God to write the book of the law and give it to Joshua. Rehearse it to him. So the scriptures was set as the supreme authority for Joshua. The scriptures is set above Joshua. All his actions are to be regulated by scripture. Joshua is to read it, understand it, and submit to its authority. Moses committed God's word to Joshua. The Apostle Paul committed God's word to Timothy to ask him to commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. But Joshua, as a busy general, so many things to do, would he have time to meditate on anything? Day is so hectic, so many problems. Well, this was what was asked to Joshua. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Meditation is focused concentration. Biblical meditation involves pondering over God's word until its full implication is clear. There are many issues that will confront Joshua. He is to take time to focus on the word of God in order to understand the will of God. And only after he has understood what is the will of God, by a focused concentration upon the word of God, is he to act. And this is what Moses, or this is what the Lord is saying unto Joshua. The unction, our prayer life, and the scriptures that demands our diligent study of it. The Bible is a storehouse packed with God's wisdom. To unpack its treasures take time. And God's word holds answers that leaders desperately need, that we all need. The scriptures can shed light on any situation. If we ignore it, it is to our peril. In verse 9, the Lord assured him again, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid." It is easy to be fearful when we look at the circumstances and the trouble that is before us, that besets us. But the Lord tells us that I have given you the secret of victory. The Spirit of God that indwells us. The Word of God that is in our hands. Joshua knew his calling in life. And we must know too our calling in life, that we are first a Christian, to live a life like Christ. And he had promised his abiding presence and his availing power through his Spirit. And he has given us his compass, God's word, as our guide. And he has charged us to courageously go and serve him while we have time. The baton, the unction, the scriptures, the commission, the courage, the compass, the dedication, the determination, the dependence, the diligence. May it be our portion that we too may accomplish God's will for our lives in whatever task that he has placed us to do in this new year of grace, 2013. Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word that gives to us instruction how we can order our lives. We thank Thee for Thy Spirit that is within us, that leads us and guides us, and Thy Word that is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. May we not despise, may we not neglect the use of these to guide us. For when we neglect, we will stumble and fall. Lord, help us to appropriate it, that we may indeed lead a victorious Christian life, as Joshua did in the conquest of the land. And may it be our life too, in whatever endeavors that God has entrusted to us to do. May we have victory through Him, and may all glory redound to Him. Praise and thank Thee for Thy presence with us and Thy help to lead us. May we consecrate ourselves to follow Him fully and wholly all the days of our life. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.